Welcome. You are listening to the Better Together podcast with Callie and Rosario Picardo. We take on topics involving marriage, ministry, parenting, communication, relationships, and other subjects that our listeners want to hear more about.
Welcome to another edition of the Better Together podcast. I'm your co-host, Rosario Picardo.
And I'm your other host, Callie Picardo. And we have some very exciting guests with us today. We've got our dear friends, Wayne and Trisha Bodkin. And Wayne and Roz, 5 years ago, had this crazy God dream to start Mosaic Church. So they have been co-pastoring together really now almost closer to 6 years probably. And Trisha is like one of the smartest people I know. She's the director of engineering for Collins Aerospace. And I just tell people she makes brakes for airplanes. That's the best I can do. But it's, I know she does a whole lot more even than that. But one of the cool things they do is they are incredible at being an aunt and an uncle, both for their biological nieces, as well as for unofficial nieces and nephews that they're kind of spiritual aunts and uncles for. And so, Wayne and Trisha, we are so excited to have you on the Better Together podcast.
It's so very exciting to be with you both and to talk about being an aunt and uncle, which is dear and near to our heart.
Well, start us off. Tell us a little bit about your family.
All right. So Trisha and I have been married for 28 years, and we don't have kids of our own. And there's a whole journey there. That would be another podcast, but it just didn't happen for us. But we found that we pour a lot of our time and effort and energy into those who are as like children to us, the children that God put in our lives. And those are our five nieces, four who are living, and also now our two great nephews who were just born to one of our nieces. And we're so excited for Duke and Tripp being in our life.
So you guys have your hands full in terms of a full family unit. And you've been married for a good amount of years. Tell us, where have you learned the art of being good aunts and uncles? What prepared you for that?
Wow. I had a great example in my dad and mom who, whoever came over to our house, they were just part of the family and everybody was welcome in. And after school and after school snacks, or, you know, just playing on the weekend or throughout the week. And people were just counted as part of the family. And I picked up on that. We've always played with kids in the neighborhood and all that kind of thing. When Trisha and I got married, one of the things I noticed about her and her family was just this ever-expanding family idea. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So I'm from Hawaii. And so there, Ohana, everybody is family, and Ohana is the word for family in Hawaii. And so honestly, everybody was an auntie and uncle, and I had no idea who I was related to and who I wasn't related to. And so it was really just Ohana is a very close knit, regardless of whether you're directly related by blood or not. And so it was always being engaged and being together during holidays, during events. We always had very big gatherings. And so I think it just became natural for us to reach out to all of our nieces and just spend time with them and figure out what they like.
Now, when did that start? Did you start doing it when they were little kids? Did you start doing it when they got to be more teenagers? Where'd you start? Like if some folks listening are thinking, you know, I want to do this, I don't even know where to start.
I think for us, it probably starts when they're willing to like spend the night or not. I think we did start maybe a few activities, like go do something together. And then it was as when they're old enough to spend the night and not get too homesick. So it can be a little bit different for each niece. And I think it's also what they're interested in. You know, sometimes maybe they didn't want to come spend the night, but Ole wanted to go and get a manicure, you know, or they wanted to just, you know, go on a hike, where some other nieces are like, no, please don't make me go on a hike. So I think it's finding, you know, what they're interested in and as early as they're really ready to venture out and do things.
Yeah. And also, I think it happened as soon as they were born, though. I mean, we were in the delivery room. She was in delivery room with her sister, but I was out in the waiting room playing Polly Pockets with the middle one. And we played hours of Polly Pockets. And we
literally probably like 12 hours, but
just what we did, you know? So, you know, relating with all kids. And then I was a youth pastor for 15 years. And so, you know, being able to relate with kids and understand that, hey, all kids are our kids. From a God standpoint, it's the family of God. And every kid needs something different. And so you find out what it is that they need, and you just kind of walk alongside them and encourage them and pray for them. And, you know, you can kind of, if a kid wants to talk, then they feel that they trust you, and then they can come to you with some of the harder things later, which we found to be true through our years of pouring into the relationship.
Wayne, that makes me think of baptismal vows. You know, often we see these cute little babies get baptized, and I'm like, aw, so cute. But part of the baptismal vows, they ask the congregation, will you help raise these kids in the faith? And it just strikes me that you all are have really been living into that. And in some of those years too, where parents don't quite have as much influence during those teen years as other adults might, especially if they're seen as cool enough. I'm sure you all were the cool aunt and uncle or the cool youth pastor.
Yeah, I think for us, sometimes we don't always have the opportunity to have the conversations we'd like to, but sometimes for us, it's just a ministry of presence to know that we care and that we love them and that we are there to support them in whatever they do. And so that ministry of presence, I think, is important.
We have spent hours at volleyball tournaments on very uncomfortable chairs, pushing through crowds. It has been crazy. We drove up to Milwaukee to a volleyball tournament, and it was for our niece who is now in collegiate volleyball, and we love watching her, and nobody else could go. And so we were the only family representing. We were very much present. We brought her favorite drinks, you know, power drinks and everything like that, that her dad told us that she loved. And so we were just kind of that surrogate parent, but we understand too that we're not the parents. And they know that we're not the parents. And that affords us some other different types of deeper conversations sometime, or different kind of conversations.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
I wanted to go back. You mentioned, how did we come to the idea of being aunt and uncle? I have a very influential uncle in my life, Uncle John, who poured into my life. And so if I always thought, man, if there's a way for me to give that back to one of our nieces or great nephews now, I would be honored to be Uncle Wayne and just be able to have that young person be able to trust me in the way that I trusted my Uncle John with my very life. He discipled me. He challenged me. There were times that he pushed back, but mostly he was just encouraging and deeply listened to what was going on. And he always reminded me, there's nothing I could do that would make God love me less, and nothing I could do that would make God love me more, that it wasn't performance-based. So deep theological understanding came from my Uncle John.
Yeah. And if they have any of our nieces have questions, I typically send them to Wayne on those types of topics. I think for me, it's about providing opportunities to do things outside of their comfort zone, or to just plan activities and do things that connect together. I know for some of our nieces, we've taken them on trips. And even one of my nieces, I actually took internationally as a high school student. And we went on some mission trips as well. And it was just a great bonding time. Not every niece likes to travel, but it's certainly something where we both utilize our strengths in different ways to connect with our nieces.
And that niece will say she got her love of travel from Trisha. So that is so powerful.
Well, and I love that you've done one-on-one stuff with some of them like that, Trisha. I mean, we have three kids and so often they're all together and I know they want one-on-one attention. And so if an adult is willing to actually listen to them and pay them some attention and wants to know what they think, I mean, they just think that's the coolest thing ever. And I know I had four biological aunts, and they all have four uncles that have married into the family, but we have a very female family. And all four of my aunts have just taught me different things in different ways. And, you know, I think of my Aunt Betsy, who's very much the family storyteller. And I've learned things about our family that I hadn't heard from my parents. And she was also went into business right out of college and was one of the few females. And so seeing that model was always really neat for me. And then my Aunt Julie was the fun younger aunt who taught me fashion stuff and, you know, helped me change my hairstyle and, you know, those type things. And then my Aunt Debbie's always loved cooking and outdoorsy farm stuff. And so I learned so much from her there. And then my Aunt Sherry is got such a deep faith. And so she is really invested in me so much spiritually as well. And she often would, when I was away at school, would email me just to see how I was doing and just would touch base so intentionally and was just always a good listener. And it was so helpful for me to have those examples of aunts. My mom was an incredible woman of faith and a stay-at-home mother. But when I knew I wanted to work as well as be a mom, it was so helpful to see some other women of faith that were great moms and also working women. So to have a different model was so good. And I know you all have been that gift for your nieces as well, just showing them, hey, you know, here's a different way of living and a very much of a faith-filled way of living. I know you've modeled as well.
It's been awesome because each one of them have different giftings. And so, you know, some musical talents and all of them sing, actually. And so we've gone to a lot of musicals and a lot of choir concerts and all those kinds of things. But, you know, ways that we can encourage them to use their gifts. And again, that ministry of presence that hopefully then opens up those meaningful conversations, as you talked about. But if you're not a part of their life, you know, it kind of starts back at going to the zoo, you know, take a zoo trip. Yeah, just very simple, you know, and just enjoying one another. And but then it builds and builds and builds to the point at which hopefully they'll come and ask those deeper questions. Now, we also have aspirations for our nieces and great nephews that they will be great financially, you know, that they will be smart, wise. But not all of them are ready or open to hearing what we have to say. And so we're just waiting.
Yeah. And that is really as we've grown up with our nieces that, you know, and spending time with them, now they're adults. And now, you know, sometimes we have different conversations. And so we just let them know that we're available to be another voice outside of their parents to talk about some of these tough issues. Because sometimes maybe having those conversations with your own parents can just result in frustration. And so we've just made ourselves available. And sometimes we are able to have those conversations and sometimes they're not ready. So we just let them know we're available if they want to have those conversations.
What would you tell people that perhaps are in the church now? Because we focus on, you know, folks of faith and non-faith, but, you know, they may be empty nesters or their kids have grown up, moved away, or maybe they don't have biological kids. What role and opportunities can they play in the life of another human being?
I think for me, first, it's about seeing what the need might be. You know, for some families, it was, well, you know, maybe I can take your kids for a night and go do something fun just to give you a break or just to, you know, so that you can get something done that you need to get done, you know, and just start again. To me, it starts with the ministry of presence and developing that relationship so that it can build as you go on. But sometimes you do have to start a little bit small.
You don't want a level jump. Be careful of level jumping because, you know, listen, they're not your kids. They're not your biological kids. And so sometimes we would find ourselves kind of going a little bit too quickly on the and being more parental. And that didn't work. That doesn't work. We're not the parents and we don't want to be the parent. So just stay within the lanes of the relationship and allow it to kind of naturally progress. Yeah.
No, that's good. And I think there are so many young people that need positive folks in their lives that will encourage them and lift them up depending on their home circumstances. And, you know, you both experienced that in youth ministry and now in other seasons of life. And so it's so important, I think, these days to be able to do that, especially all that, you know, the generations have changed and but human basic needs have not changed.
That's right.
You know, one thing we've found is that our nieces, you know, we told them one time, well, we think we're going to adopt. And they said, no, you can't. You know, we don't want you to have kids. We want you to ourselves. You know, and so I think that adult interaction, you know, is very important to have that set of adults outside of your parents that, you know, you can trust and, you know, if you need something that they can go to. And so it's
one devastating thing was for our niece. She found out we were moving from the hometown. We were all living close nearby and I was called to another city for youth ministry. And she was seventh grade. She was just going to be in my youth group. And we moved and she was mad at us. She was mad at God. She was mad. But then that ended up, you know, fostering a little bit more like, hey, day trips and, you know, doing, you know, more things, more concerted effort. And she's the one that ended up, Trisha, taking on all those trips and everything.
Yeah, went on spring break trips and, you know, just did
mission
some
trips.
Mission trips.
She just went along with the youth group anyway, even though it was in another city. So she would bring her friends and so forth. So
I love that. I'm hearing, you know, starting, don't plan on jumping into the deep end on day one. You know, you all have done a lot of intentionality over years. And so I'm hearing from you all, if folks are interested in doing this, either with their biological nieces and nephews or the unofficial nieces and nephews, to start with that ministry of presence. I'm also wondering, you know, if they're trying to figure out who, you know, they're going to be people that are open and people that aren't open. As you all have built relationships with others outside of your biological family, how have you figured out who to invest in?
I think for me, it's just, you know, sometimes you've got some automatic connections and that's, you know, kind of where you start. And there's some people who are just, you may not, you know, connect with, but there's some that, you know, are, well, absolutely want to connect. And I think you just look for where is God moving and making those connections.
For instance, Trisha had a junior high girls discipleship group.
Seventh
and eighth grade girls. And, you know, of course, she wanted to inspire them all to become engineers. but, you know, whatever their interest was. But she wasn't by herself. She definitely had another mother with her. She had maybe another advisor as well. And they did fun stuff, but it was the girls planning it and so forth. And so as they were helping them grow in the relationship with Jesus, they were also discipling these girls in terms of leadership and missions, doing for others. And there were a lot of natural connections. So the kids that were attracted to Trisha, absolutely, she influenced big time. And you know, not all kids are going to be attracted to, you know, your personality or whatever. And I learned that as a youth pastor. I mean, you're just not going to appeal to everybody. And that's,
you know, what was interesting, though, is that the ones that you do connect with, you know, there's some that we've stayed in touch with. And there's one in particular that reached out after she graduated college and went and actually became a professional athlete and was traveling. And she came and talked to me and said, how do you handle all the travel? How do you handle, you know, just being in all these different cultures? And other people don't know what you're experiencing. And she's like, you do. So it was great. You know, she actually is pole vaulter for the Philippines. And so it's just like a really neat connection that something that I did as a, you know, when she was in the seventh grade, that we still have that connection. So I think it's important also just to see where God is moving and who God may put in your path to connect with.
One of the books that was hugely influential is called The Dad Difference by Brian Laritz. Mm-hmm. And he talks about giving your kids the right stuff, R-I-T-E. It's relationship, integrity, teaching, and experiences. And that can be for moms, that can be for dads, but relationship, integrity, teaching, and experiences. And it's the same for us. I mean, you start with those experiences, you build that relationship, you know, they get to see your integrity over time, and then you're able to teach and speak into their lives when it's ready, when they're ready. So The Dad Difference by Brian Laritz.
That's awesome. Well, we just thank you for being with us. And if you're listening today, maybe prayerfully consider whose life you can speak into.
And it might be one person. Don't feel like you have to go out and have an army of people all at once that you are going to try to invest in. Just pray and say, God, is there one person for this season? And it might just be for a season. So friends, that intentionality when God is leading you can lead to incredible kingdom impact. So Wayne and Tricia, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us on.
Friends, God bless you. And if this has blessed you today, I pray that you just share it with someone else. And remember, we are better together.
God bless.